Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to be back with you. Good to have you back with me. It's good for all of us to be back together again as we get ready to grab hold of some information that we can use as we get ready to go about the business of, well, doing some exploring, some examining, some critical thinking, if you will, as we continue our discussion of whether or not at some point in the future, as we look into the future on this Thursday, souls will be in the cards for AI, for artificial intelligence. You know, a lot of people call them synths. There are all these different names for them. Synthetics is a name for these creatures, these entities that will be really about artificial intelligence, but we have bodies that look human. Call them humanoids. Well, synthetics and synths for short. Synthetics, synthetic humans. Synthetics or synths for short. Hubots, humanoids. All kinds of different names we have for them. All referring to the same kind of deal. Same kind of entity, the artificial intelligence, that they're thinking, well, not thinking, I think they're going to get them there, will think for themselves, reason, analyze, be able to pick up on emotions, express emotions. Express emotions, does that mean that they will have souls? Helping us with the sound of it all is Pleasure. The song is called Celine. Can that get us in the mood for looking into the future? Yeah, we'll hear some more of that. What are your thoughts been so far? Have you made a firm decision from the very beginning that either artificial intelligence will have souls or they will not have souls? Have you, again, you made a firm decision from the beginning. Artificial intelligence, synths, humanoids, hubots will never have souls. Have you made a strong, taken a strong stand from the beginning, saying, oh, there's no question. There is absolutely no question. At some point in the future, artificial intelligence will have to have souls. How can they not? Have you found yourself just maybe vacillating? Maybe I shouldn't use that word, but, you know, vacillating, going back and forth. You say, well, yeah, they'll have souls. Well, no, maybe not. And you're having a difficult time deciding one way or the other. How many of you said, hey, you know what? I know I don't know, so I want to just keep listening as you share the information with us. And we'll just keep thinking through this together. We'll just think through it together. And when you come to the end of this part of the discussion, then I'll make a decision as to whether or not I am convinced that they either will or will not have souls. BBC is helping us look at this, and check this out. One of the points that's made is this. any discussion of human souling, remember in our last discussion about this, the word soul was changed to souling or even soul, so that instead of using the word, the noun form of the word soul, they wanted to use it as a verb and say, instead of saying soul is something that we have, soul is something that we do. And so that's where they're getting the word souling from, a form of the verb form soul. And one of the points they're making is that any discussion of human souling requires a careful consideration of what it means to move toward the goods we desire. And to have that discussion, we need to keep the focus on communities and not individuals. What do you think about that? Would you say that when it comes to humans and souls, would you say that we only have a soul to the extent that we are community? Or would you say that we have a soul even on the individual level? Now, I would have to say soul starts with the individual. It's not that humans don't interact. It's not that humans are not social creatures. It's that we have souls whether we are interacting or not. Think about people, for example, who are thrown into prison and while in prison are thrown into isolation. They don't stop having a soul just because they're removed from the rest of the prisoners. They still have a soul, and that soul still responds. Now, we know that it does not respond in a positive way. In other words, they definitely do not thrive. The soul does not thrive when removed from the rest of society, when removed from the community, even a prison community with all the drama that goes on in prisons, whether male or female prisons. The soul is still in the individual. And we see the soul of that individual responding to the isolation of that individual as that person just goes down, down, down emotionally and mentally. Usually, there are some people who can handle that isolation. They fight it. They come up with ways to deal with it, to live through it, to thrive despite it. But most people, when put into isolation, deteriorate drastically, emotionally, mentally, physically. They deteriorate. Why? Because the soul continues to be there even though they're not with community. They still have soul. Now, I know some people say, yeah, but because they're no longer with the community, they're no longer souling. Well, let's think about that. Is it that they're not souling at all, or is it that they're just not souling with others? Because just because you don't soul with others, even if you want to use the word soul as a verb, just because you don't soul with others, that doesn't necessarily mean you're not souling at all. And the people who, number one, are put into isolation and yet thrive, prove that the soul is still there and that their souls do well despite being removed from community. So they were able to soul individually. They were able to soul even in isolation. How about the person who lives alone? Some people are miserable when they go year in and year out living alone. Some people are so comfortable with aloneness. I'm not saying loneliness, but aloneness, that they do well in that predicament, in that situation. They do well being alone. Now, that's not to say that we should jump at the opportunity to cut ourselves off off from society, cut ourselves off from the rest of the community. That's not wise either. To just cut ourselves off and say, I don't want anything else to do with mankind. Not a good decision. In fact, in the Bible, our Creator lets us know that it is very foolish for man to cut himself off, cut herself off from the rest of society and just be alone. That is not the way He created us. So yes, we do have a soul. That soul is there, period. Whether we are with community, large communities, whether we're with small communities, whether we're alone, you can best believe that if you drive a six-hour trip from this state to that state for your business meeting, for your vacation, whatever it is you're going to do, you take a six-hour trip on the automobile, and there's no one in that automobile but you. You can best believe you are still, your soul is just as much there as your body is. The whole 6 hours. We don't stop being part soul just because we're alone. All right, now, so that's it. You can probably guess that I'm not in full agreement with this person who says that in order to have the discussion of human soul and, you know, and moving toward the goods that we desire and what that means, and saying that in order to have that discussion, we need to keep the focus on communities and not individuals. In some cases, that is probably true. In other cases, that's probably not true. The prisoners in isolation found some good to push for, despite the fact that they were alone 24/7. Seeing a human just long enough, for the most part, to have their food and water given to them, boom, and they're gone. They didn't even have 30 minutes to eat with someone else. Brown thinks that relationality is one of the most important subtexts of soul worth preserving because it names the almost palpable experience of the moment of engaging another person, which, as I've said so many times, is definitely significant. Here's what they say. No one souls in isolation. Think about what I just said now about the prisoner in isolation. No one souls in isolation. We soul in communities as we seek to maximize and safeguard the potential for human flourishing, the common good. Souling, then, is not simply an emergent biological property. It is also a social factor. And I do want to say this. As I've said before, and I mentioned it just a minute or two ago, it is important that we be about the business of having very, very vibrant, healthy social lives. No question about that. But we can soul in isolation. We can strive for something good in life, even when we are by ourselves. That's just not the ideal. Stay with us. Let's talk through this some more together in just a few.